former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragon skin body armor, and Philip Tourme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.heritonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest this afternoon is Pastor David Whitney. And David, thank you very much for being with us. And what are we going to talk about today? What part of the Constitution or the jury system that you want to deal with?
Well, Stan, thank you so much for having me on your program. We're going to talk about the history of the jury that goes all the way back, really, to the biblical Hebrew Republic that God established at Mount Sinai. And the reason why it's so important to understand some of this history is, as we share in the succeeding programs, that the real duty of the jury in our American system of law and government is to judge the law as well as to judge the facts. And they must judge the law to determine if the law is constitutional, and also if the law is in agreement with the laws of nature and nature's God, God's law, the Bible. But most jurors will not believe a single juror on this issue. And so we try to equip jurors in this course with an ability to share the history, the long history that goes back all the way to the Hebrew Republic and so on, the long history and the illustrious history of the jury movement, an independent jury that judges the law as well as the facts, because it's one thing for one juror against the other 11 to stand up and result in a hung jury, so injustice is not done. Far better if the law is unjust, that you have a unanimous jury, a jury of 12 that all together agree to acquit the individual regardless of the facts, but acquit him because the law itself is illegal, either a contradiction to God's law, laws of nature, nature's God, or a contradiction to the Constitution of the United States or the Constitution of the individual state. So this evening, if we walk through, we'll just walk through some of that history, which is very helpful to see how vitally important the jury was. And basically, God said that at the very beginning when he established the Hebrew Republic. Instruction was given to Moses in Exodus chapter 18, verse 20, to Moses to teach them, that is the people, the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Everybody was to know the law of God and be ready to instruct and abide by that law. And the people were to judge one another. We find this, for example, in Deuteronomy 16. You, speaking to the people, you shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality nor take a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. You shall follow what is altogether just, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And so the Hebrew Republic had a jury system. We don't have the details of it in full, but we have enough to know that all the people were to know the law, and the people were involved in judging cases that would take place within their local town or village. And these principles were actually picked up by other civilizations other than just the Hebrews, and they picked them up by two ways. One way would be that God has written his law on the hearts of every human being. Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 speak about this, so that human conscience has God's law written on it. And in addition to that, human reason examining creation can see what is just and unjust. So people, by their own reasoning, might conclude what is just and unjust according to God's law. But secondly, and more importantly, actually, God has revealed his law in the Bible, God's Word. And although ancient civilizations may not have had a great deal of the Old Testament Scripture, they may have had a book or two here, or even quotations here or there that spread their way as trade around the Mediterranean basin took place. And so we find traces of a jury system that's based on that Hebrew Republic. Find it in, say, the Greek Empire, or the Greek Republic before the Empire, about 650 B.C., that they would select out of all the citizens over the age of 30 juries. And these were very interesting juries because they were large. They consisted of 200 to 500 citizens hearing one case. And, of course, when you have a jury that large, you can't possibly corrupt the jury. You can't bribe them. There's just too many people involved for that to take place. So that's interesting pattern that the Greeks did in order to prevent bribery and corruption in their criminal and legal justice system. The Roman Empire, before the Empire came into existence, the Roman Republic had a very clear legal system where juries were involved. They divided their system into two types of cases, a civil case for disputes between individuals, and then a criminal system in which the law provided for trials to take place before all the citizens of a town. That's a daunting thing. Every citizen who belonged to this town, every trial that was happening, they had to be there as part of the jury. And so that meant that juries were very large, and when crime wasn't that prevalent early in the Roman Republic, it wasn't much of a problem. But as crime grew more prevalent and cities grew larger, it became very difficult to pull that off, that every free citizen would be a part of the jury. And so the juries were shrunk in size, but they continued to have tremendous power. There was the jury really had the major thrust in deciding the case in the courtroom, not the judge or not the prosecutor. And juries became very, very powerful. And so during the Roman Empire, the emperor in 352 AD decided to abolish juries. And he said he was abolishing the juries because they were too powerful, they were too independent, and he, the Roman emperor, could not control them. And that ought to stand as a clear reminder to us that tyrants do not like independent juries, that is, juries who judge the law as well as the facts. They know that they can't control them, and the jury can issue justice that is against what the government wants, what the empire or the emperor wants. And so he abolished the juries because they were too independent. Very interesting case. And many people would say, what did Jesus teach? Did Jesus teach anything about the jury? And yes, indeed, he did. In the Sermon on the Mount, he gave the command that every juror should very, very closely pay attention to and seek to apply when he serves on a jury. Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. That is, when you go in and serve as a juror, you want to think of, what would it be like if I was in the shoes of this fellow citizen who's been dragged into court by the government, accused of all sorts of things? What would you want? You would want justice. You would want the truth to be out. You would want a jury that carefully weighs the evidence and weighs the testimony and considers the facts, but also a jury that judges whether the law is just or unjust, whether the law is legal, a legitimate law or not. That's the kind of juror you would want. So Jesus' commands are very clear for us. We need to render to others what we would want them to do for us, particularly when we're in that very painful situation of being brought into court and accused of various trials. Well, as the Roman Empire eliminated juries and later itself was eliminated by the barbarian invasion and so forth, and we entered the period of the Middle Ages, there were a number of things happening in various tribal groups before the countries actually formed. For example, in the Germanic tribes, they had a form of jury. All the free men of the community were obliged to attend the constituted tribunal, and it took a majority vote to determine a verdict of guilty or innocent, and they decided the law as well as the facts in those German tribes. And each district of the tribe had what they called a Graf, who acted as both a military leader and also the president of the courts. And as the head of the court, he helped settle disputes and guided the process. But it's a very interesting thing in German tradition that when a decision was to be made by the freemen, that is, by the jury, they retired from the Graf. That is, they did not allow him to participate in their deliberations. And this is preserved in our jury system today, where the jury, after hearing the trial, then go to the deliberation room. And that process is not to have any of the judicial officers or any of the attorneys or prosecutors. No, nobody from the court is to be there. It's just the jury of 12 that are weighing the facts and deciding whether the law is legitimate. And they are not to have any direct interference from the court. And that was a very interesting thing that the Germans were doing long before there was kind of a constituted nation of Germany. Well, in addition to those countries, if you go to the northern European countries, all the Scandinavian countries really had a jury system of one form or another. For example, Norway had a judicial body that was composed of 36 men. And these men, lagmannsretten, if I'm pronouncing this Norwegian correctly, probably not. But anyway, it's translated law amendment men, indicating that when they rendered a verdict in the case that was before them, they were judges both of the law and judges of the fact, and therefore their decision could almost amount to amending the law. That was how powerful the juries were in the Norwegian system. If they were not unanimous in their decision, the one who presided over them had power to decide for the jury different facts and evidence. And this man, Logimon, was the one who was able to recite the entire body of law of the land. That's a pretty noble feat, you would think, particularly in our day when no human being, even if from the moment of their birth they were able to read, and they did nothing else in their life except read page after page after page in 80 years of reading. They couldn't possibly read through all the U.S. code and the state laws that a citizen is subject to. And as they always say, you know, well, ignorance is no excuse. If you didn't know the law, it doesn't mean that you're excused from obeying it. Well, how can any American ever obey all the laws that we're required to if you could never read them through in your entire lifetime? And so I think we can learn something from these Norwegians, that they had some wisdom there, that if somebody could memorize the entire body of law and recite it, that's a just-sized legal system, unlike what we have today in our land, where the legal system is way beyond anybody's expertise.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney, talking about the Constitution, talking about how the legal system evolved, of course, from the Germanic tribes and ancient Greece and ancient Rome, and then, of course, as a manifestation of the Magna Carta, established the English law, which was the foundation of American law. We'll be right back.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right, gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit it, you can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse?
The world economic collapse could come any day.
Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question: do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to SurvivalistSeeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com and check out our Doomsday Water Filter System. Without water, you die. It's all online at SurvivalistSeeds.com. Are you prepared? That's SurvivalistSeeds.com. Go to SurvivalistSeeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly our guest is Pastor David Whitney. We're talking about the origin of the jury system and how we got to where we are today. Now, of course, initially, why were the jury, the laws of the country were very, very simple. A lot of them, of course, in the Christian era, followed God's law, the Bible. But, of course, then, of course, come the attorneys, and they want to make everything much more complicated so only they will understand. And then, of course, as this evolves, why, of course, we see more and more the courts being used as a vehicle for oppressing the people. Now, it's not simply by accident that here in the United States, one out of every 100 adults is in prison. One out of every 32 American adults is in prison, population or parole. If you look at the black population of blacks between the ages of 21 and 31, one of every three is in prison, population, or parole. Are we really a free country, or has something happened to our vision of justice? How many people have been sent to prison because the judge had an agenda and he would not allow the defendant to present a defense? And I can speak of a certain number of them. I know them personally. We have a system, of course, where judges are given tremendous leeway. And why should we give the judges leeway? They're simply human beings. They're as corrupt as the rest of us. And of course, they are subject to political pressures. And we have actually veered away from our system of justice under God to a nation of rule by man, and usually by corrupt men, because all men are corrupt and sinners. Okay, go right ahead, David.
And it's important to remember that the juries have the power in our legal system, that although there's many challenges coming against the juries today. They're trying to eliminate or shrink juries to 6 instead of 12 and rule out certain cases that, no, that can't be heard by a jury and so forth. All of this contrary to our legal system. But a powerful jury is one that understands their God-given right and duty to do justice, and they can stop corrupt judges and corrupt prosecutors in their tracks if they understand what it is that they're called to do. Well, we were speaking about Norway as one of the Scandinavian countries that had an early form of jury. Well, the Sweden did as well. They had a tribunal of 12 men sworn to investigate and ascertain the truth in any case before who the witnesses appeared. And they were judges both of the law and the facts. And the verdict was by a majority agreement. Denmark also had a tribunal of 12 men, and again, 7 made up a quorum. And Iceland, oddly enough, you don't think of that as a Scandinavian country, but it was the Norsemen that actually came to those shores and inhabited that island. And they had a tribunal of 12 men, composed of 11 men and a magistrate, and their verdict was reached by a majority vote. Again, each of these had a jury to function as a judge of law as well as a judge of fact. Now, we know that the Vikings, those Norsemen, they raided all along the coastlines for many, many years. And one of the areas that came under their sustained attack again and again was the area we call Normandy in France, so much so that actually the kings of France have finally succeeded that area to Rollo, the Viking invader in 890 AD, and he brought with him this jury system from Scandinavian countries, a tribunal of free men to judge the law and the facts. And it's interesting that their system actually ultimately influenced the Frankish law and custom, and as well we see that they ultimately influenced the English system as well, because it was those same Normans there that invaded England in the famous Norman invasion of 1066 AD. Now, it's only fair to admit that in England there had been a jury system prior to the Norman invasion. King Alfred the Great had established a jury of 12 men. Certain cases, but it wasn't as widespread until after the Norman invasion that the jury system began to be used for all kinds of decisions that, you know, you wouldn't normally think of as relating to what a jury would function as. For example, the most famous book of that era was the Doomsday Book. Actually, it was property ownership records for the entire land. As the king had conquered, he wanted to tax the people, and he wanted to know who owned what property. And so in each town, in each village, 12 freemen of that area, of that village or town, would be gathered together as a jury, and they would swear upon oath who owned specifically what land. And so the Doomsday Book, not all of it, but a great portion of the Doomsday Book, was the verdicts rendered by juries as to who owned what property. So very clear, they weren't just juries were not just used early on in criminal cases, but also you could say here in a civil case to determine property ownership and so on. And so very early in the establishment there of English common law, the jury system was built in rock solid into everything that was happening. It was Englishman's God-given right to a trial by jury of his peers.
All right, fine. You hang on there, David. We're going to be back here in just a moment. Hit Genesis to continue discussing the jury system and why it's so important and why it's being corrupted today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light purifier for only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Once, America was led by real politicians. Now politicians in the U.S., city, county, state, and federal, are owned and controlled by corporations. We have corporate representatives instead of politicians. Criminal corporate manipulation has caused grain prices to soar to the highest levels in history. Shortages of rice, corn, and wheat now exist in most countries. Natural disasters have put millions worldwide at risk of starvation. Food riots and breadlines occur daily in 30 nations, and not only is that list growing, but it's headed this way. Survival Enterprises are master distributors of the highest quality long-term storage foods. Mountain House freeze-dried foods, canned beef, chicken, turkey, butter, bacon, spices, cheese, fruit, and more. We have tons of food in stock now. Call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us, where you'll find what you'll need to keep you and your loved ones secure. And remember, those without food will be servants of those with the food. Call now.
Back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. Now, the Institute of the Constitution is run by our friend Michael Perutka, who is a frequent guest here on every month, and they certainly support Radio Liberty, and we support them because we think the key to turning America around is to understand the Constitution and to have politicians who will abide by the law of the Constitution instead of doing whatever they want to. It was Plato who wrote 2,500 years ago that democracy always degenerates into despotism. Democracy always degenerates into despotism, and that's what's happening today. Our leaders know that. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. We're a government of law. We were a government of law, not a government of men. Unfortunately, we are today a government of men, and no longer do the laws matter at all. And the Constitution that, you know, every one of our congressmen and senators has sworn to uphold is totally ignored by these wicked and evil men who, of course, are more dedicated to staying in office and to doing what's right and to abide by the Constitution and allowing us to be free. Well, what they want to do is give special perks to every little group, and every little group then supports the current system because they benefit by it without realizing that eventually it's going to be destroyed and they're going to lose everything. In fact, we're on the brink of that destruction right now as our whole financial system of our country and the whole world is beginning to degenerate. People need to understand what our foundation is. How will we take our country back? Why, we will simply demand that they abide by the law of this land. And the traitors and the criminals who are working in our government, who deny the oath that they've sworn, should be held before the bar of justice. Well, before we go on, David, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution, what they will find if they get in touch with you, and how they can use your material to begin to take America back.
Yes, Dr. Stan, we recognize that most Americans do not understand the Constitution, the Declaration, or the Bill of Rights as they were originally intended. And so we've put together a video course that we call our host kit that teaches the foundation, teaches what the gives a working knowledge of the Declaration, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights that every citizen really needs to do and understand in order to be able to choose an elected official or reject an elected official, or as we're sharing in this series of talks about the jury. To serve on a jury and to truly judge the law, you have to have the standard, and the standard is the Constitution. If you don't have that standard to hold up the law against, to say, well, is this law just or unjust, does it measure the constitutional requirement, or is it unconstitutional, if you don't know the Constitution as a citizen, you cannot do that. And people have been lied to say, you got to leave that to the experts. No, the Constitution was written for the average citizen to be able to understand it, and we put together a course to make it simple enough for every person. We've had homeschool kids as young as 10 take this course, and they come out with flying high colors in terms of their grade, because even a simple homeschool child can grasp the principles and understand the law. So we encourage people to get in touch with us. They can go and purchase our host kit on our website. Our website is IOTC Online. That stands for Institute on the Constitution Online. IOTCOnline.com is our website, and there's a button right there at the top of the first page, Host Kit. Just click that, and you can order your host kit online, or I know some people prefer to make a phone call and order it that way. And certainly our toll-free number is available at Institute on the Constitution. That toll-free number is 866-730-9789. 866-472-5796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. And we have people there in the office during business hours here on the East Coast. But as people grasp these principles and see how they apply, we can, as you say, we could take our country back. And we're talking about here in the jury, the power of the jury can do justice in the courtroom even when the legislature has done an injustice and the executive branch unjust and the judiciary is unjust. The jury can stop all of those right in their tracks in regards to one fellow citizen who's been brought into the dock and see that justice is done in his particular case. Now, going back in the history of what we were talking about in English common law and in English history, it was interesting early on the jury functioned in many ways that we do not have jury functions today. In other words, today we expect the jury not to know anything about the case, and that's usually one of the questions asked. Do they know the person who's the defendant? Do they know any of the facts regarding the case? We want the jury not to know anything. Well, early on, the jury would only be impaneled if they did know something either about the individual or some details about the case. But that began to change in the reign of King Edward III. He was one of those long reigning kings, about 65 years. During his reign, a slow development began to separate those who knew facts about the case, which we would call witnesses, from those who did not have any knowledge of the facts. Today, we would call that the jury. And during that time period as well, another element entered into the picture, and that was that juries could be tried after they issued their verdict, and they could be tried for rendering the wrong verdict. So a jury says, okay, this guy is guilty, and here's the charges against him that we believe he's guilty of, and we looked at this evidence, and the judicial system, basically the king and the judges, would say, wait a minute, we don't think that's the proper verdict. Well, anytime the government does that, look out. They're trying to take control out of the hands of the independent jury. In those days, what would happen is that same set of facts and the same set of witnesses, all the evidence would be presented to a second jury. And this second jury then would be judging whether the first jury rendered a guilty or a proper verdict or not. And of course, you know, that second jury is certainly knowing that their situation is threatened if they render the wrong verdict. So they're going to kind of do whatever the government wants them to do. And this was actually a serious problem. The a taint could actually cause you to lose your property, to lose your wealth, or to even be in prison, to lose your liberty. And so jurors could be tried for improper verdict based upon this principle of an attaint. And we'll talk a little bit later in another session about how this entered into one of the most famous trials in English history, the trial of William Penn, which has a very direct bearing on how the American jury system developed because of what William Penn, his experience was with this principle of attaint. So anyway, that was when the jury was judged to have rendered the wrong verdict. In those days, that was called perjury. The jury rendered the wrong verdict. Well, there was this all developed following probably what we need to understand is the highlight of English freedom and liberty, and that was the signing of the Magna Carta by King John. And shouldn't give King John too much credit for signing the Magna Carta. He did so upon threat. The barons of England came together and basically threatened to remove him from the throne or even perhaps take away his life. But he would no longer be king, one way or another, if he did not sign the Magna Carta. And he signed, but not willingly. He really was not at all interested in securing these liberties in a document. And this is the amazing thing about the Magna Carta. It's the first English document that spelled out the rights and the liberties of Englishmen that were secured by this document. And actually, our founders here in these United States look back to the Magna Carta when they talked about the Englishmen's rights that were being violated by King George III. They were directly referring to the rights secured to them by this document, the Magna Carta, in 1215. And actually, there were some subsequent additions to it in 1216 and so on. But let me just focus on what it says about the jury in the Magna Carta. In Article 20 of the Magna Carta, it recognizes that no man shall be fined for a small crime, but according to the degree of the crime, and for a great crime in proportion to the magnitude of it. That is, the punishment must fit the crime. This actually is a very clearly an Old Testament biblical principle that God laid down, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That was to limit the punishment to the crime. If you go, for example, to another, quote, law system, the Quran, and in Sharia law, if you steal anything, even something small, you steal an apple, you will have your hand cut off. That's punishment that far exceeds the crime of theft, to have your hand chopped off. And God's word said, no, that's it. That's unjust. The punishment must always match the crime, and that's what Article 20 was securing. Then it goes on in Article 20 to say that none of the aforesaid amercements, that is, punishments or penalties, shall be imposed or assessed but by the oaths of honest men of the neighborhood. Here's the jury system. Honest men who live in the same area in which the crime was alleged to have been committed. No punishment could come upon any Englishman except a jury of his peers, upon their oath, decided that case. The judge couldn't decide it, the prosecutor, the king couldn't even decide it. And that was what the king really objected to here. He didn't want to sign this. He wanted the freedom to be able to tyrannically rule his people as a king. And the baron said, no. We're going to protect the rights of all Englishmen from that kind of tyranny. The next article in the Magna Carta, Article 21, says, earls and barons shall not be amerced, that is, not punished, but by their peers and according to the quality of the offense. That is, it's the jury of your peers. In that day, in the feudal system, you know, there was certain levels of the nobility and various levels within that, and then beneath them the serfs and the peasants and so on. But you were to be tried by your own peers. That is, if a baron was going to be tried by a bunch of peasants, those peasants might just want to get at him because he was a nobleman, and they might not render a fair verdict upon him. And likewise, if a jury was composed of barons and they were trying a peasant, they're not likely to give that peasant justice because they're not equals. And so the principle that a jury of your peers is to try you was established there in Magna Carta Article 21. Mention one more here, Article 39, no free man shall be arrested, imprisoned, or deprived of his freehold, that is his property, or his liberties, or free customs, or be outlawed, or exiled, or in any manner destroyed, harmed, nor will we, that is the king, proceed against him, nor send anyone against him by force or arms, unless according to, that is, an execution of the sentence of his peers, that's the jury, and the common law of England. And so here's, You're innocent until proven guilty, and you can only be proven guilty by a jury of your peers. The king can't say you're guilty, I'm going to come take you. You're innocent until proven guilty before your peers. And this common law principle that was ensconced here in the Magna Carta, our founders reiterated, was our God-given rights protected, and that's what they designed the Constitution to protect, those same God-given rights. And they have been violated by our current government in so many ways. Let me just mention one, for example. The IRS. The IRS says you owe, let's just pick a number, you owe $50,000 to the IRS. What are they going to do? Do they put you before a jury of your peers to determine if you're guilty or innocent? No. They immediately begin seizing your property. They take that property from you before you even have a trial. What's that mean? In IRS court system, you're guilty until proven innocent. They'll take your property, and then you have to go to court to get it back. That's a complete violation of our God-given rights, a violation of the English common law system of securing our rights all the way back to the Magna Carta. And again, exactly what our Constitution was designed to do, secure those same God-given rights that were recognized all the way through English common law history. And it was only tyrants like King John, and we'll see some other tyrants that down through English history, it was only tyrants who violated these rights, who even thought of violating these rights. So we have to look at our own system of government today and say, well, what have we got going on here? We have a system of government willing to violate our God-given rights that were secured in the Magna Carta, the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and so on. And we have a wicked, tyrannical government. I hate to say that because I love my country and I want to see us return to a just system, and that is the constitutional republic that was bequeathed to us by our founders. And the jury has a very tremendous power of seeking to restore that system that was granted to us by our founders and is what is just and what is legal. Any law or any system of law created in America today that violates the Constitution is illegal, because the Constitution itself is the supreme law of the land. And Dr. Stan, again, that's why I encourage your listeners to get a hold of our host kit, learn the Constitution, the Declaration of Bill of Rights, because we cannot defend our constitutional republic and restore it unless we know these things, and unless, having these principles ingrained in our thinking, we're able to act as citizens and object when those rights are violated, stand up against injustice, and that's a tremendous power that juries have to do and should do if they are informed of these things. But as you well know, they will not be told this by any judge. They will not be told this by any attorney or any prosecutor. They will not be told this in their instructions that they're given as to how they're to do their job as a juror. They will be told this nowhere today in American legal system. And that's why we at Institute on the Constitution felt it very important to put together a course that would teach people what they need to know to do their duty as a juror. And we call the course that the duty of the jury is to defend the Constitution. And that's what every juror can do if they have studied and are prepared to do that exactly, defend the Constitution of these United States.
Well, I think it's so vitally important that if the citizens expect to be free, they're going to have to know the foundation of our freedom. And the foundation of our freedom is in the Constitution, and the Constitution limits the power of the federal government so men can be free. And certain of the provisions of the Constitution extend over to the states. Not all of them do, but it is basically a restrictive covenant placed upon the power of the government. Until people understand that basic principle, it's very, very elementary. The Constitution was designed to take the chains off of the people and put them onto government. Unfortunately, why, they're removing those chains from the government and forging them to put onto our people, and we're headed towards a police state. Do you really care? Do you really think that freedom will ever be regained again if we lose it? There are people in Washington, D.C. who believe in a dictatorship. They are followers of Machiavelli, and of course you'll want to be reading my speeches, or go back and get the little pamphlet that Ron Paul put out on the neocons. It's very important. He describes everything there and explains there are people in Washington, D.C. who have embraced Machiavelli, who said it's all right to lie. It's all right to use evil to do good. It's all right to use cruelty. But the major thrust of the prince, because that was the title of the book that Machiavelli wrote, was the main objective of the prince is to wage wars. This is why we're fighting over in Afghanistan. This is why we're fighting in Iraq. We're not fighting for freedom. We are, of course, fighting there to establish the concept that we have an authoritarian government that can do whatever it wants to. Their goal is a new world order, a new world religion, a new world leader. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just about out of time. Our guest has been David Whitney. David, a parting thought before we let you go.
If you don't stand up to defend the rights of your fellow citizen, and when they're brought into the justice system, there will be no one ultimately to defend your rights. And so every citizen, to love their neighbor as themselves, they need to know the Constitution. We encourage people to call us at 866-730-9796. Or go to our website, iotconline.com.
God bless. Thanks very much, David. We'll be talking to you real soon. Give my best to Michael, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. If you're one of the millions of Americans who has a business, credit card, automobile, medical, or unsecured loan debt of $10,000 or more, and you can't make your monthly payments, why don't you call David Lemure and his debt settlement company at 866-374-3101. That's 866-374-3101, because they'll contact your creditors, they'll negotiate a 30 to 60% reduction of what you owe, and arrange for a convenient payment schedule that'll get you out of debt in 12 to 36 months. Why don't you call today? Because the penalties and interest on your debt is increasing. And call David Lemure at 866-374-3101. That's 866-374-3101, and start getting out of debt today.
Terrorism. Terrorism. Chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video sheltering in place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at murkywater.com.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're going to start taking this hemp, I say. Go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm going to say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made, go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
Well, Dr. Stan here, back to the Genesis Communication Network, and I should comment that I have no say over the ads that are running my program. So if you have any problems with them, I'd suggest you get hold of the Genesis administration. But, of course, the ads are not my ads. They're the Genesis ads. Anyway, let's get on to just mention that if you really want to understand the background of our country, of our Constitution, let me suggest the little pamphlet. It's only $3.95 plus shipping. It's called We Are a Republic. What's the difference between a republic and a democracy? Why does it matter? It matters a great deal. And, of course, the pamphlet will give you the information you need. If you don't have the funds, go up on the Internet and look up my articles on We Are Democracy on my at radioliberty.com and pull them down and copy them and distribute them. The pamphlet's just convenient. Incidentally, if you have the pamphlet, you have our permission to go ahead and copy it on your own and distribute it. And then, of course, we have a wonderful book written by our friend John Storer entitled Betrayed by the Bench. Betrayed by the Bench. And we recommend it to you because it goes into the background of the Supreme Court decisions that eroded our Constitution and how they did it. But it doesn't tell you why they did it. And, of course, that's where you need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, because we will tell you what nobody else will tell you. Why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools and began to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., and found a woman had a right to have an abortion, and found, pardon me, and of course, found that it was illegal to have the Ten Commandments in our schools. That wasn't until 1980. Where did these ideas come from? And why did they, of course, go along with the change in immigration laws, which was to change the whole structure of our society and convert us into a multilingual, multicultural society? Well, that's where Brotherhood of Darkness, the story, comes in, because you'll understand the force that unites all of these people who are, of course, working to destroy the liberty of our nation. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness, the book, the DVD, the audio tape. You can get any of them separately, or you can get them all together in the Brotherhood of Darkness special. You can copy them. You can help us get the information out across America. And then, of course, you could go one step further. What, then, is the force that we're talking about? Well, that's where you need my talk, the Forbidden Secret. The Forbidden Secret. And we recommend it. We think it's very, very important. The Forbidden Secret, because there is a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years. You need to get the syllabus and the DVD, and you need to watch it two or three times. Then you need to watch our DVD on the Planned Police State and get the syllabus. It goes with that. It's got all sorts of information you need to have. And then, of course, you can get the material on concentration camps, the four-tape set, the DVD entitled Barbed Wire Over America, and then, of course, you can get the amazing clips where you'll see the Iran-Contra hearings where Congressman Gonzalez tells you there really is a plan in case of a national emergency to suspend the Constitution, suspend the right of habeas corpus, round up American citizens, and put them in concentration camps. Henry Gonzalez, longtime congressional head of the House Banking Committee, he understood what it's all about. But the reason you don't know is because the media is controlled, but we're approaching very soon the point where they are going to do exactly that. You can get either the items separately, you can get the concentration camp special, which is what we advocate that you do. And then, of course, to put things into their perspective, let me suggest the DVDs we carry, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour DVDs, they sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll, because this will really put things into the proper perspective as far as you're concerned, and vitally, vitally important for you to understand what's going on and help us get the information out to others. And then, of course, we do hope that you'll want to get the DVD, the Da Vinci Con. That's the Da Vinci Con. And it will give you tremendous insight into what's going on. We have, of course, The Gods of Entertainment by Carol Matriciana. Of course, we have DVDs on witchcraft and Harry Potter. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical?